Hello, I'm Joe De La Fuente. Welcome once again to Tatiana Andrusoff's podcast, The World Through the Heart, today entitled, Formed by Hiroshima and Nagasaki, commemorating the 75th anniversary of the atomic bombing of those two cities. Tatiana is an author and novelist whose books are based on her experiences with the United Nations. And now, here's Tatiana.
I was 21 and had just come back from an incredible year in Europe, which had seen me, the daughter of poor immigrants, greet ambassadors, take part in high-level receptions, open a ball in a fantastic gown with the Blue Danube. Literally, the dream life. Of course, there was the letdown, the end of a relationship, the tearful return to everyday life. But thanks to the school I went to, Mount Holyoke, a six-week summer job at the United Nations headquarters in New York. I stopped crying because I saw a way to get back to that dream life. Hey, I was only 21. I was assigned to be the substitute for the vacationing librarian at the United Nations Scientific Committee on Atomic Radiation. I remember walking into the small space that it occupied on the 32nd floor of the United Nations building. As you opened the door, the library, there were to the left books on shelves, lots of file cabinets, and a desk for the librarian. Dr. Stellas, I always confuse it, I make him a star, but he was not a star, but he was like a star. Dr. Stellas' office was across from that, an Italian. He headed what was obviously a small effort. Librarian, well, partly secretary in some ways, assistant, we would say today. I had to open the mail that came in, try to put it in the right place in the library. I must say that I knew how to do that rather well, as I obviously went to the library, many libraries, while studying. But I also had earned some pocket money helping in the college library. Of course, the UN system is bureaucratic, so I had to register things and, of course, give what was important to Dr. Sella. As it was summer, basically doldrums time in the UN, there was not enough time only to classify and hand over, but time to look at what came in and go see what was in the shelves and in the cabinets. There were reports, many reports, quite a few accompanied by pictures. What struck me immediately was a picture of a woman who had survived the bombing in Hiroshima, but whose body was forever full of patterns. In her case, played, as what she had worn on that day was checkered. You see, different colors absorb light, radiation, in different degrees. And so, as the light, the radiation of the explosion spread over her body, it had been burned according to the different colors. I'm subject to it much less now, but for years, whenever anyone talked about anything to do with atomic weapons, I would see her in front of my eyes. Yes, I read some of the reports, learned how people had their skin and part of their bodies literally liquefy or disappear while they were still alive, attempting to crawl in the devastation, but also took in the descriptions of the vomiting that happened later, weeks afterwards, as those who had survived the initial impact went through radiation sickness. And of course, there were incredible cases of disfigurement and cancer for years afterwards. What also struck me was that the rubble of the city saw plants of all kinds coming up, some growing large, nature attempting to cover up human folly. Whenever it got to be too much, I would go up to the 38th floor and talk with my administrative officer, a woman who was incredibly good to all the young girls under her wing. Now, the 38th floor was special. It was the Secretary General's floor. Honestly, because of the dream year I had lived, I did not fully appreciate the importance of that. What I knew was that the floor was airy, that it was welcoming, seemingly quiet that summer. Secretary General Uthan's office was to the left of my administrative officer's office. While going to the right, one came upon the one occupied by Ralph Bunche. Everyone was welcoming. This was my floor. You see, the United Nations Scientific Committee on the Effects of Atomic Radiation was directly under the Secretary General's office at that time. So, from the rubble and the fellow humans killed or disfigured by our own cruelty to each other, I went to the restful hum of top-level world diplomacy. Many times, however, I went down to the delegates' lounge. In the quiet of the summer, and much less guarded times than ours, no one questioned my entering what is now almost taboo for the common mortal. I would sit down in one of the comfortable armchairs or the corner of some sofa and have a good coffee. As you know, if you read any of my books, my blogs, or hear any of my podcasts, I love a good coffee. At that time, in 1969, one of the few places for such a good coffee was the UN Delegates' Lounge. Diplomats of all ranks who were still in their missions to the UN in New York's July and August heat came and went. I paid little attention. Actually, my head and my heart remained in that little space on the 32nd floor with its human tragedy. Gone were the thoughts of the grandeur I had lived for a year. They were replaced by the tragedies we humans create for each other. I started thinking of graduate school and what I could do to be among those trying to prevent such tragedies from forming. That is how I wound up going to a completely new graduate program in international relations at Fairleigh Dickinson University, one where UN diplomats themselves came to teach. That is how I wound up first as an interpreter, then a development officer, a personnel officer, an electoral officer, and finally a junior partner to the co-founder of the United Nations Development Program, Ambassador Paul-Marc Henry. Oh yes, I changed in the 1990s and went to nonprofits with non-governmental organizations collaborating with the United Nations. I became the program director of the Global Forum of Spiritual and Parliamentary Leaders on Human Survival, an organization now defunct, headed by a great person, Akio Matsumura, a Japanese who was a child in Tokyo when Hiroshima and Nagasaki were bombed. I ended up being the president of a small foundation, the Thanksgiving Foundation, the one that was responsible for our America's gift to the United Nations, the mosaic version of Norman Rockwell's Golden Rule. My inspiration for diplomatic high-level efforts at human discourse preventing or attenuating the use of force were a result of John Cabot Lodge's behavior in the Security Council in the 1950s. But my drive to be a worker bee trying to prevent circumstances that lead to human cruelty was inspired by those 6 weeks immersed in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. My novels speak to that. Let us honor those lost in war as we contemplate the 75th anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And let us all think deeply as we are tested by the present pandemic. Let us resolve that we shall at least try to treat others as we would hope they treat us, with dignity and care. Let us act in ways that allow for differences and disagreements so that we do not add to the potential for armed conflict that will only exacerbate the challenges we already face.
Thank you again, Tatiana. If you would like to read Tatiana's books, go to Amazon and choose the one or ones you like. The books are Before They Cut the Ivy, Mangoes and Blood, Choices, A Question of Seduction Eros, and A Question of Seduction Agape, all available in electronic or paperback version. And we'll see you again next time.